moral schizophrenia. In our society, it's okay to kill a baby right before birth, but it's murder to kill one after birth. That's what happens when moral choices are set by the will of the majority. Confusion reigns, and the price tag is devastating. We can keep eating the bitter fruit of rebelling against God, or we can turn to Him in faith and adopt His standards for behavior. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't, Erwin Lutzer is teaching about the cross as the basis for morality, a basis sorely needed in a decaying culture.
You know, that's the way it is with sin. You block this door and it comes through here. During the days of Prohibition, they said, you know, no whiskey. Well, whiskey was bootlegged and people got it from here. And if they weren't able to get it from here, they stole it from there. It's a tough world out there. And when you're all finished, you wonder whether or not it was worth the effort, because unless you keep up some kind of a campaign all the time, your gains, first of all, are minimal. They don't last long, and they never really change the human heart. Now, what I need to tell you today, that if we want to put fire back into the train, if we want to restoke that old locomotive, we have to buy into some biblical propositions, and let me give them to you today. The first is this, that morality is based on God. It's based on God. You can't have morality without God. It's like asking for leaves without a tree. It's like asking for petals without a flower. It just does not exist. Now, this would take one separate message. I could probably do it in 45 minutes in a lecture, but that's not what you're getting today, to prove that out of atheism, no morality whatever can arise, none. Now, the minute I say that, you say, oh, I know an atheist who's trustworthy. We even give him our keys when we go on vacation. Yes, of course, because atheists too are created in the image of God, and therefore they have a sense of rightness and wrongness. Augustine referred to them as well as those who were virtuous pagans, he said. And there are such. But their morality arises out of the fact that they are creatures created in the image of God. It does not arise out of atheism. Logically, out of atheism, no morality whatever can arise. Morality is tied to God. When God said these are the Ten Commandments, He meant this is what I am like. You look at those commandments and you get a glimpse of me. Remember the liberals who thought that they could do away with the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and still keep the Sermon on the Mount? Boy, I'll tell you, that didn't last long. Because once they got rid of a supernatural Jesus and once they got rid of a transcendent God, they were left with the Sermon on the Mount that nobody wanted to obey. And so it was constantly rewritten to fit the fallenness of human nature. Because you cannot have morality without God. Secondly, morality ultimately is changed through the transforming work of Jesus Christ. The transforming work of Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It is the transforming work, and that is the unique message of the church that you can't find in any of the political parties. And that's not wrong. I'm just simply stating a fact. That there is a transformation of heart that God wants to bring about. And then there's a third supposition that I want to give you today that is the most direct to us today, and that is to say that we clean up the world best. We clean up the world best by cleaning up the church first. By cleaning up the church first. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A culture much like ours. We've been to Corinth, some of us, and we remember the temple up on the hill, which was dedicated in those days to 1,000 prostitutes. Homosexuality rampant. As a matter of fact, as Paul sat down to write this, Nero was about to marry a boy by the name of Scorpus. And it is said that 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were either homosexual or bisexual. So you have all kinds of permissiveness. You have adultery, you have fornication, you have everything that you could possibly think about sexually and other kinds of sins in this pagan Corinthian culture. And Paul is writing a letter to the church. And he says in chapter 5, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. Very probably a stepmother. His mother probably died, his father remarried, and so the son and the stepmother are involved sexually. And Paul says, you know, things are bad in Corinth, but you don't even hear of that. I mean, there even the pagans draw some kind of a line in the sand. Now, this is a good time for us to pause for just a moment and to realize why it is that we should be so careful when we point our fingers at the world. And the reason that we should never come off as self-righteous, as pharisaical, as on a pedestal, pointing our fingers to all of the people in the world who disobey God's laws is, one of the reasons is because the very same sins frequently exist among us. That's why Paul is writing this. He's saying, this should have humbled you, and yet you've become proud and you've ignored it. Look at the sins that destroy society, whether it is abortion or divorce or homosexuality or alcoholism or drugs, you name it, it is within the church. It happens among us. And what Paul is saying is that those are the kinds of things that must be taken care of. Now, it's not wrong to say that this was in people's past. In fact, as we shall see in a moment, that's going to be Paul's emphasis, is that people are converted out of all kinds of different sins. And that is understandable, and that's why a church body such as ours or any other church in America is a collection of people who have been saved out of some very, very damnable sins and iniquities. And that's the way it should be. But I'm talking about people who claim to be believers, people who say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus, and they continue in their former lifestyle. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that I'm not interested, he says, in what happens in other parts in Corinth. I want to know what's happening in your assembly. As a matter of fact, Paul says that the whole body is affected by what this one person is doing. Last part of verse 6, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Don't you know that one man living in immorality in a church actually poisons the entire church? You take some leaven and you mix it in the dough, and pretty soon the bread expands, and just a little bit of it, a cup of it or whatever, expands the whole loaf. And Paul says that in the very same way, this one man's compromise and sin affects the testimony of all of you. All of you are compromised by it. You see, you can't quarantine sin. You can't cut it off. You can't say, well, here it goes and no further. I mean, it's like trying to burn incense in a dormitory room. No matter how many towels you put under the door, somehow it'll waft into the hallway, up the elevator, and soon they can smell it on the second floor. You just can't keep it neatly contained. And that's, Paul says, that's my great concern. In fact, he says in verse 9, I wrote to you my letter not to associate with immoral people. And some people evidently misunderstood it and said, well, if that's the case, we're going to have to go live on an island somewhere. He said, I did not mean with the immoral people of this world, or with covetous or swindlers or with idolaters, for then you'd have to go out of the world. You'd have to live with yourself, I guess. You know, I have a friend, bless him, who doesn't think that he should attend a restaurant where a liquor is served because he's contributing toward the liquor. Well, that's fine that he has that conviction, but I wonder what happens when he eats somewhere else. How does he know how the money that is being given is going to be used? If you have that view that you're not going to associate with idolaters and swindlers and immoral people, Then you're going to go to northern Wisconsin and buy a little plot of land and a little bit of acreage and not see anybody for at least 5 years, but watch carefully the man from whom you purchase that plot of land. He might misuse that money for immoral purposes. No, Paul says, that's not what I'm talking about. Of course you have to do business with these people. Verse 11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or reviler or drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? He said, that's your responsibility. You're pointing your fingers at them and you have not cleaned up your own act. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. You see, what Paul is saying is, I don't come here to Corinth with a morality campaign to clean the place up. Because I know, number one, it won't work. And number two, even if you got them cleaned up morally, unless they were rightly related to God, you would not be doing for them anything that would be of eternal significance and consequence. You would be imposing an outer law upon them without an inner transformation of heart, and that won't go anywhere. That will not fuel the stalled train along the tracks. So Paul says, first of all, what you need to do is to take care of the sins of the flesh. In chapter 6, he goes on to say, you should take care of the sins of the spirit. And sometimes we emphasize one and we say nothing about the other. What is it in chapter 6? Well, he's talking about some of these people who are going to court. You know, we think we live in a litigious society, and we do, but evidently at Corinth, there were perhaps a number of attorneys there also who majored in disputes. And here brothers are going to court among brothers. People from the same church are going before ungodly judges trying to resolve these disputes.
Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. And even as I was preaching this message, I was reminded of the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ today is much like the church in Corinth, a church that is shot through with carnality, with factions. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, they argued. A church that was seeking spiritual gifts, and there was nothing wrong with that except that they would seek particularly those that were most spectacular. A church that still had within itself people who needed church discipline, who were not disciplined. So what the Apostle Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians is simply this, that when I came to you, before I could begin to clean up the world, you have to clean up the church. And that's my message to you today as I conclude, even as I give this message to myself. At the end of the day, America is in a crisis. We're hearing a lot about politics as we anticipate the coming election. But we are in a great crisis, morally and spiritually. And I think God is saying to us, clean up the church, and then you'll have a greater impact as you attempt to clean up the world.
Some straight talk from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who's brought part two of The Cross, The Basis for Morality, another message in his series, Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. In sorting out how to mix faith and politics, we all need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, more about the cross as the basis for morality. Join us for our next Running to Win.